Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Doctrine Detox Podcast. This is episode number 27, and today I'm going to be doing something a little bit special. Just like I did with Halloween and with Christmas, today I want to talk about Easter, because if you're listening to this on the day of public release on all streaming platforms, then tomorrow is Easter Sunday. But before I get started on that, I just wanted to talk about something that's, you know, a little bit near and dear to my heart, which is this podcast. I have been doing this as of last week, the 26th episode. I have been doing this for exactly 6 months, which is kind of a big deal for me because I tend to be kind of ADD when it comes to projects like this. I used to have a YouTube channel and I've started projects but never really finished them. So it's really important to me and really good to me that I've been able to keep this up for 6 months. So here's to another 6 months. I promised myself that I would do this for a full year. So thank you for those of you who have been listening this far. And if you're new here, thank you for joining me. But this has been fun so far. So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting me so far. And I'm glad you're here. But anyways, today I wanted to talk about Easter. It was always one of my favorite holidays as a kid, mostly because, you know, it was a day when my family got together and we would cook a lot of food, and, you know, I love a lot of food. But I also loved, like, Easter egg hunts and all the chocolate that came with it, and I never really cared too much about the Sunday service, you know, going to church and things like that. I mean, obviously, like, I didn't hate it, but it was never really my favorite thing. But in the Christian religion, Easter is one of the most sacred holidays, one of the most important holidays, because it marks the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Earlier, when I was talking about how I didn't particularly care for the Easter Sunday services, it wasn't because I didn't understand the importance of the holiday. I really did. It's just that, well, you know, every Easter Sunday service is the same. You know, once you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times. But, you know, there are some people who only go to church on Easter and Christmas, and I get that. You know, it's a holiday for, you know, being super sacred. I get that. Anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. Instead, I'm going to talk about Easter and its origins. Specifically because something that I've seen a lot lately with Easter and with Christmas and Halloween and a lot of other holidays is that people who are very loudly evangelical tend to have this problem with people celebrating holidays their own way. So, like, if something like Easter that's considered to be very sacred is being celebrated by someone who isn't religious in a non-religious, a very secular way, such as only doing the Easter egg hunts and the candy and the egg dyeing and things like that, and not going to church for it, the super evangelical people tend to get offended at that and think that these other people are trying to take away their right to worship and go to church, which is not the case. It's just that people celebrate in different ways. And specifically, Easter has a deep, rich history of not being a Christian holiday. And it wasn't until fairly recently that Christianity was interjected into it. So if anything, the Christians sort of took away the secular celebration of the holiday to begin with. Anyway, I'm not here to interject my opinion on that right now, just because I feel like there are 1,000 different ways you could look at it. However, I do want to go a little bit into the history of it, because I think it's really, really interesting. Now, Easter was always one of those holidays that I could never really keep track of, in that, you know, I knew it happened sometime in the spring, like maybe late March, early April, but it always seemed to change, and there's a reason for that. It's because Easter always follows the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox, which is a lot of afters. But it's a very confusing time to keep track of. Essentially, that date comes from pagan origins. Now, I'm not quite sure what the festival was, what the celebration was, other than the spring equinox, but that's when the pagan celebration of the spring goddess would fall. And I'll get a little bit into more about the goddess later, but that's when the festival, the celebration would happen, is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. So if you can get all those things straight in your head, and you can keep track of full moons and equinoxes and things like that, then you'll be able to accurately tell when Easter is every year, or you can do what I do and just look on your calendar. Now, like I said, I don't really know what the celebration was. I don't know what they did. I don't know how they celebrated, but I do know what they were celebrating. The furthest back that we can trace Easter celebrations is to ancient Sumer and the ancient Sumerians. There's a clay tablet that's over 4,000 years old, and it depicts the legend of Tammuz and Inanna, otherwise known as Ishtar, which is what I'll be calling her from now on. So in the legend, Tammuz dies. I don't know how he dies, but he dies. And Ishtar follows him to the underworld to try and get him back. She goes down there and is judged and also dies. I guess she was unworthy. Meanwhile, while she was dead, the earth just falls into a state of absolute decay. Their crops are dying, the livestock stops reproducing, disease is rampant. And 3 days later, the god Enki creates two creatures and sends them to the underworld with the plant of life and the water of life. Now, I'm not quite sure what either of those are, because I didn't look too deeply into those. I was just looking into the legend, but they sound super cool. I'm going to be doing my own research on that later, just because this story is cool. Anyway, the plant of life and the water of life to the underworld, and they revive Tammuz and Ishtar. And after their resurrection, they returned to the world as the light of the sun. But they can only be in the world for 6 months at a time, and then they go back to the underworld for 6 months. So that's a very clear representation of the 6 months of life that we get during the year, during the warmer months of spring and summer, and then the 6 months of not life-giving months, such as winter and autumn. Again, there are a lot of finer details that I'm a little fuzzy on. I don't know the whole story there, but that's sort of the basic legend. That's what the Sumerian clay tablet was talking about. And so that's what was being celebrated, is the revival of Ishtar and Tammuz. So obviously, there are lots of parallels to the story of Jesus' resurrection, being dead, going down to the underworld, or going down to hell for 3 days. Now, there is a lot of debate in Christian theology on whether or not Jesus went down to hell, or if he went back up to heaven, or whatever, but there are people who believe that Jesus went down to hell when he died for those 3 days. So that is, you know, part of the legend. Anyway, being dead for 3 days, going down to hell, and then eventually being revived 3 days later. Clearly, there are a lot of parallels to the story of Jesus' resurrection and the story of Tammuz and Ishtar. Now, interestingly enough, though, the story of Tammuz and Ishtar predates Christianity by over 2,000 years. And fun fact, too, actually, when Christians initially found the site of Jesus' empty tomb in Jerusalem, they also found a spot super close by where a temple to Aphrodite was built. Now, Aphrodite was based on Ishtar or Inanna. And once they found that spot, once they found the location of this temple, it was quickly leveled. They took away all the ruins and everything. And on that spot is where they built the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which in most Christian denominations, in most Christian faiths, that is known as the holiest and most sacred place in all of Christianity, and it still stands there to this day. They have their own website and everything, which I don't know. I think that's funny, just that the Christians would say, oh, Jesus was here and nobody else. Nope, not Aphrodite. Let's get rid of that and build our own church here instead. That just seems to be the theme of most celebrated holidays. Like, if you listen back to my Halloween or my Christmas episodes, there's been a lot of cultural hijacking going on by the church for as long as history has been around. And this is no different, which is sad. You know, Christianity trying to wipe out other religions and other cultures for their own purposes. And I think that's why we have a lot of people now who are getting mad when people want to celebrate these holidays in other ways that are not inherently Christian. Now, I was surprised to discover, however, that Christians are very clear about the fact that Easter did not originate as a celebration of life of Jesus Christ, but rather a pagan holiday. I found several sources talking about that. So, like, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which is a very reputable source in the Christian community, says, and I'm quoting, "The English word Easter comes from the Anglo-Saxon Istra or Estera, a Teutonic goddess whom sacrifice was offered in April. So the name was transferred to the Paschal or Passover feast. So basically, Easter, this Estera celebration, was absorbed by Christianity and then replaced Passover. Passover is still celebrated by Jewish culture. And in fact, if you're listening to this again on the day of release, it's happening right now. It started on March the 27th and it ends on Easter Sunday, April the 4th. I don't know much about Passover. I don't know when it's supposed to start and end like that. But Christians no longer celebrate Passover, but they do celebrate Easter. The New Unger's Bible Dictionary also confirms this. And their quote is, "The word Easter is of Saxon origin. Istra, the goddess of spring, in whose honor sacrifices were offered about Passover time each year. By the 8th century, Anglo-Saxons had adopted the name to designate the celebration of Christ's resurrection." So as you can hear, there are a lot of mentions being made to Istra or Estera or Oster or lots of other variations of the same name, and not Ishtar and Tammuz like I was talking about earlier. Now, I did a little bit of looking into that, and I think the reason is because Istra is a pagan goddess, whereas Ishtar is a Sumerian goddess. However, Istra was based off of Ishtar, so it's kind of all one and the same, really. However, the story of Istra is a little bit different. She's known as the goddess of light and life, and she would often appear as a hare to symbolize the life and fertility that was brought by spring. There's even a legend in Germanic mythology that Istra once healed a wounded bird by turning it into a hare. Now, this creature, this kind of mutated creature, was part hare, part bunny, and part bird. So in order to thank Istra, it would lay eggs for her, which is sort of like the first reference to kind of what we have as the modern day Easter Bunny. It wasn't really seen as such then in its original time, but that's sort of, I guess, where the first device came from for us to get this new modern version of a bunny that lays eggs around the first Sunday of April. It's weird. Now, the first known literary use of the term Easter Bunny comes from a German text, and I couldn't find the name of it, but it comes from a German text from 1572 that says, and I'm quoting the English version, "Do not worry if the Easter Bunny escapes you. Should we miss his eggs, we will cook the nest." And believe me, I have no idea what that means. I don't know. It's a translated German text, probably a nursery rhyme or a folk tale or something from 1572, but it's in the text. The word Easter Bunny comes from 1572, but the concept of the Easter Bunny, like the modern Easter Bunny that we have today, was brought to America by German immigrants. You know, they had this idea of an Easter Bunny and Easter and like eggs and everything like that, and by the 19th century, in classic American fashion, rabbit candies and rabbit shaped chocolates and Easter eggs and stuff just became the norm. I'm sure there's a whole big history there that I didn't really look into because I wasn't really looking so much into how we get the modern traditions as what is the history of Easter. And it turns out the history of Easter is significantly more not pagan, because pagan is a blanket term used in the Christian community to mean anything that is not of an Abrahamic religion. It does have pagan roots. It has Sumerian roots. And obviously here, it also has some sort of strange roots in Germany when it comes to Easter eggs and Easter bunnies. Anyway, all of this is to say, let people enjoy things the way that they want to enjoy them. No one is getting physically hurt in the process. No one is being oppressed in the process. It's just that there are so many more things in this world that people just don't understand. In this case, You know, I was brought up to believe that Easter was specifically a Christian holiday and needs to be a Christian holiday, and I didn't hear anything else about it, actually, really, until I started researching this episode. Obviously, I've heard a little bit about, like, Ishtar and the goddess of fertility and things like that, but it wasn't until I started researching this episode how deep the lore goes and actually how little it has to do with Jesus' resurrection. Because very much like Christmas, this date obviously is not the same date as Jesus' resurrection, because it changes every single year. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the first spring equinox, which, you know, it's possible that that could have been Jesus' convention for returning, was, oh, I must return on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the first spring equinox. But that was a specific date back when it happened. And, you know, some people will argue that it never happened at all. I'm not here to argue for or against that point specifically, because, you know, there are reasons for celebrating Easter, and I'm fairly certain that the whole legend of Ishtar and Tammuz never happened either, but people want to celebrate, so we're going to let them celebrate. And that is exactly my point. People are going to celebrate, so let them celebrate. Just because someone wants to do an Easter egg hunt and dye eggs and doesn't necessarily care to go to church doesn't mean they're trying to keep you from going to church if you want to. And vice versa. If someone wants to go to church, that's not trying to say that you can't celebrate without going to church. It's the same story as all of the other holiday special episodes that I've done, which is that it started as a holiday for another religion outside of Christianity that people inside of Christianity would call pagan, but it kind of was, it kind of wasn't. And it was absorbed by Christianity in order to get more people in, sort of thing. And in fact, while many of the pagan customs associated with the celebration of spring were at one point practiced alongside Christian Easter traditions, they eventually were absorbed by Christianity as symbols of the resurrection of Jesus, such as eggs being, you know, new life and white as snow, like Jesus washes our blood, and there are 1,000 different parallels that you can draw with eggs and Jesus Christ. However, the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD established the date of Easter as the first Sunday after the full moon, following the spring equinox. Anyway, that's a lot of words just to say it's the exact same story as my Halloween episode and my Christmas episode. Back when I first started the podcast, I thought that I would be able to make a unique episode for every what I'll call bank holiday or religious holiday, just because nearly every single one of them started out as something not Christian, but they all have the same story. It was a holiday celebrated by another religion outside of Christianity, sometimes pagan, sometimes something else. It was absorbed by Christianity in order to basically tell the people who celebrated, hey, if you celebrate this, you're Christian now. And then it was overtaken by modern day Christians here in the 21st century who say, if you try and celebrate any other way outside of Christianity, then you are persecuting me who celebrates it a Christian way. And honestly, I'm really disappointed at that. I appreciate the culture that goes into the original holidays for these kinds of things, and to see them constantly being stomped on by modern Christians saying you must celebrate this in a Christian way, or even by the Christians who absorbed the holiday to begin with saying this is the church's now, I just think that the preservation of culture was sorely, sorely missed and is honestly kind of being killed by the church on a regular basis. So this Easter, if you see someone who celebrates by going to church and having crosses everywhere and then does an Easter egg hunt, mind your business. If you see someone who chooses to dye eggs and fill plastic eggs with chocolate and not go to church, mind your business. And if you see someone sacrificing another person to the old gods, mind your business. Anyway, folks, that's all I have for you today. I really hope you enjoyed this Easter-themed episode. Again, this used to be my favorite holiday when I was a kid because I really loved Easter egg hunts. I love the puzzle involved there. I love hiding them for my friends and things like that. But anyways, folks, Don't forget that you can follow me on social media, on Instagram at Doctrine Detox Pod and on Twitter at Doctrine Detox. And if you want to support the show, you can by leaving a 5-star review wherever you're listening today. Or if you want to support me financially, you can over on Patreon at patreon.com/Doctrine Detox Pod. Now, there has been a lot of confusion lately by new listeners who think that I'm only on Patreon, and that's not the case at all. Obviously, if you're listening to this anywhere outside of Patreon, I am on Amazon Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Castbox, really anywhere that you can listen to podcasts completely for free, no paywall required. I only have the Patreon there in order to give you an avenue to support me directly. It's not required, but I do appreciate it greatly. With that being said, folks, thank you so much for listening, and never, ever forget that everything is going to be okay. The Doctrine Detox Podcast is written, recorded, and produced by Adrian Cardwell. Original intro and outro music is Doctrine Detox by Adrian Cardwell.